This is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin. Coming up, our moms lean in on Facebook executive Sheryl Sandberg's new book. It's called Lean In. She talks about why more women aren't claiming top jobs in business, and she says they might be too worried about balancing family and career. We'll have that conversation in just a few minutes. But first, we want to take a look at the evolution of a controversial political and cultural figure, the Reverend Al Sharpton. This week, he delivered the keynote address at the National League of Cities breakfast here in Washington, D.C. The event's theme was Celebrate Diversity. And that alone speaks to the remarkable journey he has made from a New York preacher and protester with a reputation for being thoughtlessly provocative to a national media figure with connections to the White House. We wanted to hear more about this. So NPR's Corey Date is with us. He recently spent a day in New York City with Reverend Al Sharpton, and he joins us now. Corey, thanks so much for joining us once again. Really fascinating.
Thanks, Michelle.
Well, so tell us about this.
Sure. Al Sharpton has been evolving for some time. He was once, as you mentioned, a marginal figure in nationally and certainly a highly polarizing one. Today, he has the ear of a president and ties to corporate America. It's the kind of mainstream relevance he never thought he'd have when he was protesting on the streets of New York back in the 1980s. What makes this latest version of Sharpton interesting is his use of media these days to advance his activism. As you'll hear.
Let's listen.
It's early Friday evening at 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York, and Reverend Al Sharpton's nightly MSNBC show, Politics Nation, is just about to start.
You are 15 seconds here.
Sharpton's show has made history for the cable network with the highest ratings ever in the 6 p.m. time slot.
10 seconds here.
New York's celebrity activist was just briefed by his producers for tonight's lineup.
Roughly 5 seconds.
He stops for makeup, and then...
3, 2...
It's showtime.
Tonight's lead, here comes the freakout. The president and vice president are building a plan of action on guns.
It's Al Sharpton used to take on the media. Now he's a part of it. He uses TV and radio to advance his causes.
It's Friday.
Sharpton hosts talk radio 3 hours a day.
Do you know what time it is? It's Al Sharpton's time.
His show, Keeping It Real, runs on 40 stations. It's his pipeline to Black America.
Affirmative action was initially for African Americans, for the prejudice and bias that was being shown towards African Americans.
Reverend Sharpton, or Rev as he's known, takes all callers, all opinions. But when he disagrees, he breaks right in.
John, what you're saying is factually untrue. From the beginning, it was addressing Blacks, Latinos, and women.
Keeping It Real has been on air 7 years and has made Sharpton a fixture in many African-American homes, and not just on the high-profile news stories. Callers even ask him for diet tips. Just looking at him, it's the first thing you notice. This once supersized man, who stuffed himself in tracksuits, is downright skinny. And these days, he wears tailored Italian suits.
I eat a salad midday every day. And the salad I have, it's lettuce, tomato, egg, boiled egg chopped in, and onions.
Sharpton says he's lost 110 pounds in the past 2 years. But waistline and wardrobe aren't all that's changed. Sharpton's activism nowadays is more inclusive and reaches beyond African Americans. In his younger days, he wasn't above using personal attacks and racial barbs to get his way.
I think that the way this case has been handled by the state has been racist and brutal.
That's Sharpton when he took up the Tawana Brawley rape case in the late 1980s. A grand jury found the Black teenager's claims to be a hoax. Sharpton, her biggest champion, later lost the defamation suit to the prosecutor. He's still widely condemned today for refusing to apologize for his role. It's just one of the incidents that made him a controversial and polarizing figure.
All I saw at first with Sharpton was a lot of noise.
For years, cultural critic Stanley Crouch publicly called him a buffoon. Today, Crouch says, Sharpton is more sophisticated and focused.
The fact that Sharpton is so accurate today on so many different subjects about the federal government, about voting, he gets all these things right. I mean, he could just throw out some rhetoric, but he ain't doing that now. He's not doing that.
But not everyone forgives or forgets Sharpton's past conduct.
I really have very little good to say about him.
Dov Hyken is a New York State Assemblyman representing Brooklyn. He points to the 1991 riots in Crown Heights, where a Black child was killed in a car accident involving a Hasidic rabbi's motorcade, and Blacks retaliated by killing a Jewish man. The violence lasted for 3 days. Sharpton led a march and made remarks that Hyken and others say further inflamed the tensions between black and Jewish residents.
He has managed to get away with not addressing some of his past. He has been kosherized by a lot of people who I don't think would give many of us a second chance.
Sharpton has expressed regret about some of his past actions and comments, but says his critics are too hung up on events from a distant past. He started his civil rights group, National Action Network, 21 years ago. It now has 40 chapters. He ran for the U.S. Senate and for president. And Sharpton took on new issues, like the Show Me Your Papers immigration law in Arizona. He broke ranks with black ministers to endorse gay marriage.
Yeah.
Al Sharpton darts between appointments in a black SUV with a driver, an assistant, two smartphones, and an iPad. For many years, civil rights leaders have used the media to promote their causes, but Sharpton is the first to do so as a daily radio and TV host. That's how he says he mobilized 30,000 people to Sanford, Florida, to protest the shooting of the unarmed black teenager Trayvon Martin.
How do you think we put 30,000 people in Trayvon? See, the thing that nobody ever deals with in the media is have an organization and the media outlet.
That puts him squarely in the mainstream, where he gets the attention of people like philanthropist George Vredenburg. This day, Vredenburg asks Reverend Sharpton's help for an Alzheimer's campaign.
Well, he, in a sense, continues to remain a firebrand, an independent thinker and a driver and a leader. But on the other hand, he has certainly changed his style and his, I think, credibility. I think he is now a national, credible spokesman for progressive causes.
His credibility extends to Washington, where Sharpton says he has the chance to directly influence key policies like education and jobs.
He says exactly what he thinks.
White House senior advisor Valerie Jarrett.
He does his homework. There are many times where he calls to check his facts to make sure that he's accurately representing the administration's position. And if he thinks that we're misstepping, he will tell us that.
Oh, how long is the ride?
Probably shouldn't be bad. Look at that. Probably 30 minutes.
Yeah. You think so?
It's 7 o'clock. The Politics Nation staff goes home, but Sharpton's day isn't over. He's speaking at a Martin Luther King scholarship dinner in Westchester County. He recalls his mother's funeral. Ada Richards died last year, just as he was boarding a flight to stand with the family of Trayvon Martin.
My mother was born and raised in Dothan, Alabama. When she was born, she didn't have the legal right to vote. She had to ride the back of the bus in Alabama. But when she died, I was blessed to be able to read at her funeral a letter from the first black president of the United States.
People didn't leave the world the way they found it, he tells the crowd. On Saturday morning, he'll be off to his next appearance, leading his weekly Harlem rally. Corey Dade, NPR News.
And Corey Dade is still with us in our Washington, D.C. studios. Corey, this is really fascinating. Were you tired after all that? Seems like you did a lot of running.
I was. I'm considerably younger than him, and I felt like I struggled to keep up.
you could sense that. There's the sense of that kind of really frenetic pace. Now, obviously, his working relationship with the Obama administration is represented by, I think, the candor that Valerie Jarrett, shared with you. I mean, she told you basically he has a direct line, to the administration. You certainly know that a lot of African Americans have felt that the president has not been vocal enough on issues of particular concern to African Americans. What does Al Sharpton see as his role in that?
Well, I think what he says is that he has no problem voicing his disagreements with the president. Usually, though, he does it in private. He does it when he's in those meetings with the president. Publicly, he's more of an advocate. But he also acknowledges, as other leaders like Marc Morial with the National Urban League and others, that he's in a bit of a rock and a hard place. On one hand, he can't go too far in criticizing the president because he gives ammunition to the Republicans and adversaries on the right. On the other hand, he also understands that his black constituencies are not, shall we say, open to too much criticism of the president. And so they demur a little bit.
I have heard him say that the president deserves a base. This president deserves a base, just mm-hmm. like every other, president deserves a base. And if his base is African Americans, then that's how it is. So,
right.
To that end, Corey, the final question that I had for you, you've talked a lot in the piece about how others see him. and all the many hats he's wearing. Any sense, did you arrive at any sense of how he sees himself at this moment in history? I know he said, look, I'm not a journalist. That's not right. So how does he see himself?
He certainly makes no bones about being a journalist. He says that when he took the job at MSNBC, he was very clear in saying, I'm going to continue to be an activist. I think he looks at this period in his life where he is able to put all these things together and be what he calls sort of a media activism. He is using his platform on his radio show and MSNBC to drive activism, to be more effective in building support for any cause, whether it's a march, whether it's a protest, whether it's just getting African-Americans in particular more engaged in the political process.
Corey Dade is a correspondent for NPR's Digital News. He joined us here in our studios. Thank you, Corey.
Thank you, Michelle.
And for more about the Reverend's, Al Sharpton's, Reverend Al's transition from outsider to insider, you can visit our two-way blog at npr.org.